May what is spoken and what is heard be both spoken and heard in the name of our risen Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Many years ago, decades ago, I realize, when I first announced to my supervisor in the emergency room that I would need a schedule change in order to accommodate my matriculation into the seminary, her very supportive and empathic response was, "You really believe all that stuff? The virgin birth? Bodies alive?" I didn't know what to say. The Sunday after Easter, the church holds up the disciple Thomas and his struggle to believe. He could not accept that the resurrection was true. He needed empirical evidence, physical evidence, touched with his own hands evidence. He could not accept the faith testimony of the other disciples. This is a struggle with which many can identify, and I presume the reason why every year on the Sunday after Easter, the wisdom of the church is that we read about the disciple Thomas. As our reading explained, all the disciples were initially frightened and puzzled, trying to comprehend the events leading up to the crucifixion, and then Mary Magdalene's astonishing announcement that she had seen the Lord and he had spoken to her, risen. Gathered together in a locked room, these friends did not know what to make of it all, when suddenly they themselves also experienced the risen Lord. Jesus mysteriously came among them and assured them with the words, "Peace be with you." But we know, of course, that Thomas, off wherever he was, had missed Jesus' visit. When he returned and was told by the disciples that they had experienced the resurrection, he was skeptical. "Nope, not unless I touch him myself, put my hands in that wound, will I believe." One way to understand the point of this scripture is to realize that believers have always had struggles with belief. When I was challenged by my supervisor as to what I believed about a specific doctrine, incomprehensible doctrine, I should say, I was stunned. I knew that I was being drawn, called toward a path of ordination and full-time service to God through the church. I was in love with God, and I was willing to sacrifice my leisure, my comfort, my finances, to follow that call. But I was at a loss to say what I did not or did believe about the virgin birth or any other doctrine. I was suddenly quite scared. Kathleen Norris, author of Amazing Grace, Vocabulary of Faith, speaking of her own doubt, says, "I find it sad to consider that belief has become a scary word, because at its Greek root, to believe means simply to give one's heart to. Over time, we have lost the root meaning and think of belief as intellectual assent. We confuse believing with cognitive activity. In our modern context, most people think that to believe in Jesus means to believe certain ideas about him. Marcus Borg, biblical scholar and canon theologian at Trinity Cathedral in Portland, explains that the pre-modern use of the word believe was always associated with a person rather than an idea. To believe in, not to believe that. We all know what it means to believe in someone, as in having confidence or trust in them. In the Christian context, this means having confidence and trust in God, especially God as known through Jesus. Our word believe comes from an older word, beloved, which means to hold dear. We could say beloved. When we say the creed in a little while, in your mind, try substituting the word beloved when we say we believe. Think, we beloved, and see how the creed sounds to you then. The difference is analogous to the difference in saying you believe in love versus giving your heart to your beloved. When I received a marriage proposal, I looked into the eyes of my love and said, yes, I will. I love you. That is quite different than, yes, I will. I think marriage is a good institution, and it's legal in this state, and I think you are making an honest proposal that I can count on. And I gave my heart with only the vaguest notions of what that might mean, long run. When I looked at my child for the first time, I didn't say, you are a helpless infant, and it would be the proper thing for me to take care of you, whether I feel like it or not. I looked into his eyes, and I said, I love you, having no idea what that would mean as the years went by. We really know deep down that beloving is the way to find true love, to nourish or sustain a relationship, a marriage, a family. It is the same with our relationship with God. Perhaps that is why my very wise high school Sunday school teacher was so right when she told our class, if you don't think that you believe in Jesus Christ now, try living as though you did for a year, and then see what will happen. Giving our lives and hearts over to Jesus is the way to find belovedness. In our context, how do we do that? Well, we can always go back to the disciples for help. Back to the gospel, the disciples were broken and frightened, doubtful and confused. They did love Jesus and they had trusted him, but they could not explain what had happened. What did they do? They gathered. They drew together to pray, to support, to be a community with and for each other in the name and spirit of Jesus. They went looking for Jesus, and they told each other where and how they had found them and what he had done for them. They must have kept reassuring each other that what they experienced was true, maybe even debated it. Then they had to venture out of that room to take risks to live the kind of Jesus, the kind of life Jesus had taught them, and to tell others about the new life and promises they had found. Like the disciples, we need to gather, to be together, and to be a community in his name. We can look for Jesus in our homes and work, in one another, in crisis and in joys, even sometimes in the tedium of every day. We can tell our stories to one another and trust and reassure one another that what we experience is authentic. Then we need to venture out into the world, take risks, and yes, tell others what we have discovered. Even if they say, you believe that? Someone going out of the 8 o'clock told me, one of their friends wanted them to do something on Sunday morning, and she said, I'm going to church, and then she said, again? When my supervisor asked me if I believed in the virgin birth, the truth was I didn't even think about the virgin birth. And I will say, after nearly 30 years of ordained ministry, I still don't think much about the virgin birth. And I have no interest in an intellectual discussion of it. I still can't explain in any physical or scientific terms what happened to the body of Jesus. But I have learned that when we gather, tell our stories, and encourage one another to give our hearts and our lives to Jesus, I beloved Jesus. And the rest, someone else can worry about. Amen.